Меня зовут Оксана Простакова, и я лидер русской группы пользователей SharePoint. Я хочу сказать вам добро пожаловать. Добро пожаловать на нашу первую техническую конференцию по SharePoint. Я хочу сказать большое спасибо тем людям, без которых эта конференция была бы невозможна. Большое спасибо компании Microsoft за силы, которые они приложили, чтобы нам помочь. Большое спасибо компании HP, которая предоставила нам оборудование, на котором пройдет большая часть сегодняшних демонстраций. Большое спасибо также компании VPoint. Хотя у них нет офиса в России, но они оказали нам достаточно большую и неоценимую помощь. Как вы еще можете предоставить нам ваши отзывы? Пишите, пожалуйста, отчеты в блогах, форумах, ну, в общем, там, где вы проявляете вашу активность. За лучший отчет в блоге, форуме, ну, то есть в каком-то текстовом виде, мы подарим вам веб-камеру. За лучший отчет в виде фотографий, фотоотчет, мы подарим вам мышь Microsoft Arc. Также, если вы очень старались, но немножечко не дотянули до лидеров, мы подарим вам флешку. Я еще раз хочу вам напомнить. Заполняйте, пожалуйста, анкеты. Нам это действительно очень важно. За заполненную анкету на стойке регистрации вы получите небольшой, но достаточно приятный сюрприз. Также в конце коридора направо вы можете взять бесплатную книгу по SharePoint. То есть подходите, берите, не стесняйтесь. Если их там еще не хватит, подойдите к организаторам и скажите, что книги закончились, они есть еще. Книги расположены как раз на пути в зону «Спроси эксперта». Если у вас есть какие-то вопросы, тем более по новой технологической платформе, по которой, я думаю, что у вас накопилось достаточно много технических вопросов, ну, не только. В конце холла расположена зона «Спроси эксперта», где вот наши эксперты умеют делать практически вот так. И большое спасибо всем вам. Всем вам, которые пришли на нашу конференцию, нашли на это время. И я надеюсь, что наша конференция станет вам не просто там тратой времени, но будет очень полезна. И сейчас я хотела бы передать слово Георгию Баркану, компании Microsoft.
Здравствуйте, коллеги. Меня зовут Георгий Баркан. Вы знаете, мне сегодня просто меня переполняет чувство, потому что я вижу, сколько людей пришли на конференцию, и в 10 раз больше мне приятно это говорить, тем более, что не мы являемся организатором этой конференции, а является организатором замечательное сообщество разработчиков SharePoint, поэтому мы видим, насколько наш продукт популярен, насколько вы любите, и тем более вы хотите узнать о новой версии 2010-й. Поэтому спасибо вам большое, огромное спасибо Оксане Простаковой и всем активным участникам SharePoint User Group. Не забудьте про это, приходите на регулярные ежемесячные заседания SharePoint User Group российской. Вот, еще раз хочу сказать спасибо всем, кто сегодня нам помогал. Ну, я передаю слово снова Оксане, чтобы она уже представила нашего сегодняшнего очень важного, интересного гостя. Спасибо.
Большое спасибо, Георгий, за добрые слова. И сейчас я хотела бы представить вам Арпана Шаха. Это руководитель продуктовой группы по SharePoint в Редмонде, очень хороший спикер, очень часто выступает. Арпан.
Thank you. Thanks, Oksana. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Great. So, before I get started, I want to thank Oksana for inviting me. And for the SharePoint user community in Russia. I've heard many, many great things about it. And by the way, while I was sitting next to George, he said he'll write the first SharePoint 2010 Russian book. So, no, I don't know. I hope he will. My name is Arpan Shah. I'm a director on the SharePoint team. I've been with Microsoft for 9 years. I sometimes lie and say I've been there for 10 years. It just sounds better. But I started at Microsoft on Content Management Server. Is there anyone who knows Content Management Server? A few people. So I actually was on the product management team that looked at CMS. We called it CMS back then. And then I moved to the SharePoint team in 2003, 2004. So I've been part of the 2003 release, the 2007 release, and now the 2010 release. And it's really exciting because I think this is the first event I'm coming to after launch. So last week, May 12th, we launched SharePoint 2010. So everything you see today, you can download a trial, you can get a reviewer's guide, you can do hands-on labs. We're trying to localize a lot of this stuff in Russian, but a lot of it's available in English as well. We'll also have a lot of the certifications, exams, and courses coming up in the next few months. So this is really a great time because, again, this is the first time I'm doing this after May 12th. And again, before I get started, I want to say that as my first time in Russia, it is a beautiful country. So, you know, I've heard great things about it. And when there's light at 10:30 at night, it's really hard to sleep, but it's very nice and beautiful. So I thought I'd start a little bit by talking about SharePoint 2007. And a lot of this is because of the user community like yourselves, kind of the feedback and the success we saw with SharePoint 2007. In many ways, SharePoint 2007 was a very, very big release. We have over 17,000 customers on SharePoint, on all versions of SharePoint. It just tells you how big this the release was. There are over 100 million licenses. So a lot of customers, if you're partners here, what it means is that a lot of people have access to the software, or at least some of the base licenses of the software. There are over 4,000 partners here. I'm sure many partners here. How many partners over here, SharePoint partners? And how many customers? Okay. So again, we have a lot of partners, customers, and other over here. And the other thing that might be surprising to many people here is that there are over 2,000 sites built on SharePoint, internet sites. So the question I get a lot, and this is dear and near to my heart because I came from the content management server world, is how many internet sites are on SharePoint? And there are over 2,000. A lot of Fortune 2,000 sites. And just to give you an example of a site that I think is beautiful, they build beautiful products, is Ferrari.com. I can't afford a Ferrari, but I can go to the site and look at the Ferrari sites. So again, just a really nice example of a SharePoint site because it doesn't look like SharePoint. Brand is really important. The way it looks is really important. They have a lot of great content on this site. And again, this was all built using SharePoint 2007. EasyJet. A good European customer, a good example of a customer that does its business using SharePoint. Now, the back end, they integrate with another system, but their publishing infrastructure is all built on SharePoint 2007. So again, just some examples that you may not be aware of. Viacom. Viacom is the parent company of MTV. They are a great example because they have a lot of digital assets. And just a little bit of a warning, in the beginning I used to show Viacom a lot when I was with executives and with customers, but I stopped doing that because they would have very interesting videos and I would never know what videos they had, so I would always have to be careful about what what videos they showed. So this is the MTV, the parent company, which is Viacom. So again, digital content is really important to them. Ethics and compliance. I like this example because this is built on SharePoint 2007, but in SharePoint 2010, we have true multilingual user interface support. So that means if you have a SharePoint site, and if you have to support English, you have to support Russian, you have to support German, you can have one site, and then you can switch the Chrome dynamically at runtime, and then you can get the resources in a different language. And I'm actually going to show you a lot of demo today. I'm going to spend about 30 minutes showing you a lot of the SharePoint 2010 features. But here you can see some work with MUI in SharePoint 2010, especially for collaboration and enterprise content management. You get the dynamic language switch. So that's a great, great new thing of SharePoint 2010. Kroger It's a known brand in Russia. It's a well-known brand in the U.S. Kroger creates a lot of consumer products, and they're also built this site on SharePoint. In the last example, before I kind of jumped into SharePoint 2010 and started talking about it for the next 80 minutes or so, is Starbucks. Coming from Seattle, I think I have to talk a little bit about Starbucks, because we love our coffee in Seattle. And this is their corporate intranet portal. So all the stores, all the employees for Starbucks use SharePoint as their corporate intranet. So just a lot of different scenarios with SharePoint. And where SharePoint 2003 was a lot of collaboration and document management, SharePoint 2007 started expanding different scenarios. And we think SharePoint 2010 will expand a lot more. This is really interesting. I thought I'd tell you the story. On October 19th, we had our SharePoint conference in Vegas. How many people went? Maybe a few people went. There's a gentleman in the back who went. Well, if you didn't get to go, hopefully you're going to get a lot of this content today, this session, and you have some great sessions that Oksana and the team have set up. But October 19th was interesting because Steve Ballmer keynoted at the SharePoint conference, and I got to do one of the demos on stage, which is very nerve-wracking with 7,000 people. But what's interesting is we had a lot of people like yourselves in the U.S. who came to Vegas because they love SharePoint. That's why many of you are here. Well, this couple, actually, the headline in the U.S. was that this couple made time during the SharePoint conference to get married. Not they got made time to go to the SharePoint conference after marriage. They got married in the middle of the SharePoint conference. And this news started spreading with 7,000 people all whispering. And the news got to my team. So we got a photo shoot with Steve Ballmer. It made it in Network World. And at the end of this, I went to my wife and said, I wish I got married to you a little later at the SharePoint conference because I would love a photo shot with Steve Ballmer. So again, if you want to be famous, get married at a SharePoint event. So, without further ado, I wanted to talk about SharePoint 2010. How many people are not familiar with SharePoint 2010? How many people are seeing this for the first time? Okay, a few people. And I'm assuming some other people have seen some videos, have heard a little bit about it. So what I'll do in the next hour and a half or so is I'll talk about the product. And this product is so wide and so deep that you have a lot of great sessions that cover a lot of the deep topics. What I wanted to do is give you a glimpse at all the different workloads and all the different features and show you a bunch of demo, because talking up here is tiring for you, I'm sure. And it gets a little tiring for me. I'd rather show you a lot of these things. But before I kind of jump into demo, I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of SharePoint and what we were thinking in Redmond. So again, I work in Redmond. I've been working there for a long time. And when we built SharePoint 2010, we listened to a lot of the feedback from many users here, from many users around the world. And we built the product to deliver three types of value. And I just thought I'd talk about it, and then I'll talk about all the features. The first is to deliver the best productivity experience. So if you take a look at what's happening in the industry today, people are using different browsers, Internet Explorer, Safari, Firefox. These are all standards-based browsers. The phone is really catching on, like it's rapidly getting adoption. So whether it's a smartphone or a not-so-smartphone, people are using the phone to text, to view content, and we think that this trend will go up and up. So in the U.S., you know, it's about email, but when I talk to people in Europe, and even in Russia in many ways, people are using the phone a lot more. So at SharePoint 2010, we've tried to build the best experience for any kind of browser. I like Internet Explorer, but any kind of browser, and any type of phone device, and also the Office client as well. So we have great Office client experiences. I'll show you a few of them today. We also have a very interesting investment area in 2010. The Office client functionality is available through a browser, This is hosted on SharePoint. It's called Office Web Applications. So things like the Word web application, OneNote web application, PowerPoint web application, you can host that on SharePoint, and you'll see some demos. So if you don't have access to the client gives you the richest experience, but if you don't have access, or if you're communicating with partners who may not have access to the latest versions, you can view the Office documents in a browser, and in many cases, you can edit the documents in the browser. So it's a really great investment, and this works across browsers, again, through Safari and Firefox. Some of the new client integration, the other thing that's really important, and I don't think I'll demo it, but I just want to talk about it, is a new evolution of Groove called SharePoint Workspace. And SharePoint Workspace is, in many ways, the rich client to SharePoint. Many people in Redmond say that SharePoint Workspace is to SharePoint as Outlook is to Exchange. And I don't think it's 100% there in 2010, but it gives you the direction in terms of where we're going. So people can have offline access. People can have an access similar to Windows. People can have a very performant access. And a little trick here is if you have SharePoint Workspace, and if you have low latency, SharePoint Workspace actually does the background syncing. So whether you're looking at a collaboration scenario or enterprise content management scenario, SharePoint Workspace on the desktop with many, many hundred megabyte files will just sync in the background. So you don't have to download it on demand. You can just go ahead and sync it, even on a very poor latency. So in India, when I went to India, I actually used SharePoint Workspace to actually sync all my documents because I didn't have the best latency. The next one is cut costs with the unified infrastructure. In SharePoint 2007, hopefully many of you started using SharePoint more than just collaboration. You started using it for enterprise content management. You started using it for search. You started using it for BI capabilities. And the really nice thing about SharePoint, even in this release, is that because the capabilities are integrated, what it means is you have less licensing costs, so your costs are lower because you're not buying all the different point solutions. But for many of you that might be technologists, what's even more interesting is that you can create very innovative solutions. So for example, in Redmond, we created an FAQ solution. So what we did was we needed a formal way to gather the frequently asked questions. So FAQ is frequently asked questions. And we wanted to make sure we had the latest questions and answers for SharePoint. So it's funny how it evolved, because the first time we did it, we had a Word document. We had a Word document, we used check-in, we used check-out, we used workflow, and it worked great. But then what we realized is that the number of questions are a lot bigger and harder than what my team can answer, because my team is relatively small compared to, you know, the thousands and thousands of people. So the way we use SharePoint to actually develop this frequently asked question site is we use the SharePoint Wiki functionality and created like a Wikipedia for the FAQ with formal structure. So we had a page for each question, we had formal workflow, we had search, so people could build this knowledge base, and then when we wanted to make it formal, we could put it through a formal review. So just a simple example of how you can use some of these technologies very creatively, and then you can use search and find these questions and answers. But the funny part is, once we did all this work, everyone we talked to wanted it in a Word document. So it's kind of funny, right? You have all these technologies, but at the end of the day, people just want it in a Word doc. But at least it helped us get all the content. And then we used the OpenXML SDK to kind of create a docx file. And then we distributed that internally. So just a very simple example of what you can do. And we even had Office integration. So then when people were filling out the responses, because it was built in SharePoint and the integration with SharePoint with Word, people could actually just integrate with SharePoint, bring in the answers that were approved by executives, and then feel very confident that these were the right answers. So just a simple example of how we took, you know, something like a wiki and document management and formal workflow and search and created an FAQ solution at Microsoft. And the last one, and how many people here are developers? Here. Okay, quite a few. The last one is all about development. And I know that there are a lot of developers here. I think I saw 35% to 40% developers. And we've done a lot of work for developers with this release. So with SharePoint 2010, we have out-of-the-box support for Visual Studio 2010. So you have templates, you have an F5 experience, you can debug, you can code, you can deploy, you can do all these great things with Visual Studio. But we also have a lot of great features for the end user. So if you're not a developer, you could take a Visio diagram, post it onto SharePoint, and expose that Visio diagram to everyone. You can create a workflow using Visio. You can model a workflow using Visio, include it into SharePoint Designer, and then developers can use Visual Studio to develop it. You can do a lot of customizations through the browser, and I'll actually show you that. So if you want to make SharePoint look pretty, you don't have to be a developer. Again, we have master pages, we have CSS, we have all that great stuff. But in this version, you can take a theme, an Office theme, and apply it very, very easily. So when you think of Rapidly Respond, of course, as a developer, but there's also the non-developer that you want to think about. Last slide before I kind of jump into demos. And for the rest of the time, I'm going to do workload. So just to back up here, I'm going to do workload, which is sites, communities, content, search, insights, composites, and then I'll do demo, so you can get a feel of it. And actually, the one point I forgot to make is that in SharePoint 2010, we've been very clear that this is an enterprise platform for internet solutions and enterprise solutions. So SharePoint can have terabytes of content. So Microsoft IT has tens of terabytes of content. In each list, you can have millions of items. The search, the out-of-the-box search with SharePoint can index over 100 million items. So this can be used for very, very, very large deployments. And we spend a lot of time making sure that this can scale to the most mission-critical applications. So let's jump to it. I'm going to now take you through a wheel. Sites. Three ways to think about our sites investments. Think of sites as the capabilities that help you share information. The first is all about the rich user experience. I talked about this before, being able to do things very easily through the browser, through the client, and so on and so forth. Anywhere access, this is offline access, this is mobile access. And the last one is the ability of using a SharePoint site for internal, extranets, intranets, it doesn't matter. A site is a site is a site. And with that, this is the little bit of Russian I have in my slide. So I'm gonna go ahead and do a demo. So can we switch? Yeah. So hopefully people can see this. I'm actually running the demo on this machine here. I'm using Hyper-V, Windows Server Standard Edition R2 with Hyper-V. This is on 800 by 600 resolution. So you can imagine some of the challenges I've had. But what's really interesting is you'll see that the SharePoint user interface, I actually just found out right now, because my engineering told me this happened, but until I saw it, I didn't know it. You'll see that the ribbon in certain assets in SharePoint actually morph themselves based on your resolution. It's a really very interesting observation that I got to see, and you'll get to see it as well. So let me just show you some of the basic things from a site's perspective. So for those of you not familiar with SharePoint 2010, this is the new user interface. A lot of people have said that SharePoint pages are too heavy, they take a lot of time to transmit, and I want to say that we've done a lot of work on the payload of SharePoint pages. And what this means is there's a lot more flexibility for developers to be able to create mobile pages, and we've refactored the JavaScript quite a bit, so you can choose, depending on your scenario, what you need. This is very useful for internet sites. And the other thing you'll notice, and I just want to make this point, is that the entire user experience is very Ajax-y. So it's doing a lot of the calls asynchronously. So the end user doesn't see the performance, doesn't see any performance at all, actually. Over here, this is the new SharePoint ribbon. And you can actually see that I can now put my site in edit mode. And this looks exactly like it should feel like Word. So even if you're not if your users aren't very technical, they can very easily go ahead and modify the site. So for example, I can just say, instead of welcome to your site, I can say welcome to Russia. I can go ahead and select this text and get WYSIWYG editing. So I can choose the font and see how the font goes. I can change the size and visually see the size change. So again, some really rich experience. And again, all of this is through a browser, right? With one click, I can do this. There's a lot of other stuff, like in any SharePoint page, people can actually go ahead and add tables, add pictures, add a bunch of things. And power users, many of you I'm sure are power users, can actually use some of the advanced features like this. Read this document. So now you can actually go ahead, well, I put an announcements list. Let's actually choose a document. I'll choose share documents. Here you go. And now I can say read this document. And when the document goes away, the link goes away. So again, you're able to take advantage of all the content in here. The number one thing we found users do with SharePoint, can anyone guess what the number one thing people do with the new site is? Change the picture, right? It sounds really simple, but nobody wants these three good-looking people. I mean, you know, they might be great-looking people, but they're not your people. So the first thing people did was change the picture, change the text. Remember, there used to be the WSS logo in SharePoint 2007. Now we have some people here. But even this isn't good enough. So what I want to do is I want to add my own people here. So now, again, using the ribbon, you'll see that when I clicked on the picture, I saw a little tab come up. So if I'm not very technical, I can go ahead and change the picture. I can upload a picture right from my computer. So, for example, I will grab a picture of my nephew. There's also tagging ability. So when people actually upload this, you can have a workflow, or you can do tagging or do something like that if you wanted to. Or you can have formal workflow if you wanted to. Now, my nephew's chubby, but he's not that chubby. So I'm going to take out the lock aspect ratio. And you can see that, you know, very, very easily to resize right within the browser. So again, we've just made it really, really easy to do a bunch of things. The other thing that people wanted to do is actually change the look and feel of a site. So again, we have master pages and we have a bunch of things. But one of the things that people said is, I want to make my SharePoint site look like Office, right? Make it look like a PowerPoint document that you may have spent a lot of time on. I spend a lot of time on PowerPoint as well. It's addictive. And one of the examples I want to show is that here I have a PowerPoint template, and it's a gray and an orange template, and you can actually create your own theme if you want. If you go to PowerPoint, the Designs tab, you can create a theme, and you can save your current theme as a file. So I've actually gone ahead and done that. I've actually saved this as a theme. So what I can do now is I can go ahead and click on Change Site Theme. And in SharePoint 2007, we have a theme gallery. So if I go to the theme gallery over here, so let's open this in a new tab. I can upload my theme. And again, the nice thing about being able to upload your own theme is if you wanted to, you could even have a workflow on this. So if you want people to, if you want to approve certain standards, if you want to approve certain themes, you can actually go ahead and do that if you want. So I go ahead and take the orange theme. This is a Microsoft Office theme file. Click OK. You can also get these themes from Office Online or create your own. So I've added it here. Let me close it. If I go to Site Themes here and refresh this page, you should see orange over here. And now if I preview this, what SharePoint will do in the back end is it will take all the CSS, all the styles, all the different font and background information and apply it to SharePoint. So it'll look like an orange and black thing, pick up the fonts and pick up all the different colors. And there you have it. So just very, very simple. And this is probably something you'd want to do on the internet. On the internet, you probably want to have more, you know, use master pages and so on. Now, I am going to cancel out of this. I just wanted to show how you could do that. And the other thing I want to show is MUI. Now, I wanted to show Russian, but I decided to show a language that's even more different in terms of its character set. So I decided to choose Japanese. So you can change dynamically the language of a site, and you'll see that depending on the language, and again, a lot of this can be changed by the user, or it could be based on the user language preference, the resource strings change automatically into Japanese. So this works for out-of-the-box resources. We don't do auto-translation, so this should not be confused with auto-translation services, but at least all the site menus, a bunch of the other work is already auto-translated. So again, hopefully this will help in your deployments. So let's switch back to English, since I'm not that proficient in Japanese. And the other thing I wanted to show from a site's perspective, for many developers here, is how we've used Silverlight in SharePoint. So the first thing I want to say is that Silverlight, in many ways, makes your site come alive. So you can actually give a great visual experience. But in SharePoint 2010, you don't need Silverlight, just to be clear. If you have Silverlight installed, it's a better experience, but you don't require it. So let me go to the shared documents and just show you one place where we've used Silverlight. Now, I started my keynote by talking about the Office web applications, and what you see over here is the Word web application. So this is a Word document with a high degree of fidelity being displayed in a browser. So if I wanted to write in a browser, I can go ahead and edit this Word document. I could do a bunch of things. And in this particular case, we're actually using Silverlight to show the document. The other thing I want to show for all the developers here, how many developers here have done Silverlight development before? A few? So let me show you an example of a partner that actually created a Silverlight plugin for SharePoint. So if I go over here to the Documents ribbon, the thing I want to point out is that if you're a developer, you can actually extend the ribbon to add your own commands. So that's possible. You can do that using Visual Studio 2010. And over here, one of the partners has actually created a contextual help system using SharePoint 2010. So what I mean by a contextual help system is that based on where the user is in SharePoint, they've actually created a help for the user. So think of end user training. So now when I click on help videos over here, it knows that I'm in a document library, and now I have a Silverlight application that actually gives me training, a small video on how to do on how to do collaboration with document libraries. So again, just a simple example of how you can extend the ribbon and how you can use Silverlight to create some really rich applications. So let me jump back into slides. Can I please jump back into slides? So that's just a quick demo of some of the site's capabilities. And here's some screenshots here. Here is a SharePoint Workspace. With SharePoint Workspace, you can take documents offline. You can even take line of business data offline. So if you have SAP systems, I'll talk about this a little later. If you have SAP or Microsoft CRM or Siebel or even SQL or even Oracle, you can actually take that data offline. You can put it in SharePoint, and I'll show you a demo of this a little later. But SharePoint Workspace allows you to take a lot of this content offline to work on. I also want to talk a little bit about the Backstage. The Office Backstage is a part of the Office 2010 suite. It gives you a view into a lot of the SharePoint content. It tells you who's working on it. You can connect with people. You can even initiate a workflow. So if you have an enterprise content management system, you can actually start a workflow right within the Office Backstage. Here's the Office web applications that I showed you. I'll show you a couple more later. I'll show you Excel web application just in a little bit. Here are some screenshots of mobile support. If you're a developer, you can create your own mobile layouts, but out of the box, we have a lot of mobile support. So if you want to navigate documents, or if you want to look at people, if you want to find phone numbers, And we have great mobile support for Office web applications as well. So you can view Word, you can view documents, edit documents, and really have access to all the content. And again, this is SharePoint Sites. Again, I talked about internet sites before. SharePoint 2010, again, really built for internet sites as well. And the new thing with the 2010 release is that we're also releasing a new a SKU, which I guess technically the expansion is stock keeping unit, basically a new package that you can buy. It's called SharePoint for Internet Sites Standard Edition. So it's a lower priced point, which allows you to build internet sites on. So there are some restrictions, but it's a lower priced point, and it's a new offering in the SharePoint 2010 release. Let's talk about communities. Communities is really interesting because in the US, I can't have one conversation of SharePoint without someone talking about Facebook. Do people know what Facebook is here? Yes? Anyone not know what Facebook is? Yeah. You know, here's a funny story. My nephew, not the baby that you saw, a slightly older nephew. My older nephew, he's 18 years old and he's at university. And I was emailing him, hey, you should come over for American Thanksgiving. We'll have turkey. Well, I'm vegetarian, so maybe not turkey. I only eat chicken, so not turkey. But we'll celebrate. Come on over. I didn't get a response for a long time. And then I said, why isn't he responding? And then it turns out that he only reads wall messages, which is a Facebook thing. So again, it just tells you there's a generation gap. So I finally wrote a wall message, and then he told me what he's doing with all his flight information publicly to everyone. I said, listen, you know, you have to be careful. So there are a couple things and a couple aspects to this story. The fact or the truth is that the younger generation uses social media. That's a fact. But the other fact is, if you're not careful in the enterprise, social media can actually be not productive. So how do you balance these things? And I think SharePoint has done a really good job balancing these things. So I try not to use the word social in the enterprise. I actually talk about productivity software. So you'll see some examples, but this allows people to connect with each other, find experts, find information more easily. So again, when people say, I want Facebook for the enterprise, I say, well, do you really? Or do you really want things that help you with productivity? And I think it's the latter. So when you think of community, don't necessarily think of, oh, this is Facebook, oh, it's a little crazy. What you want to think about is how can you give people the tools to connect with each other is a way to think about it in a less formal way. So here's some bullet points here. In terms of how you can do it. The first is one of my favorites. It's called informal knowledge. So think of this. I always use this example. Think of enterprise content management as being a formal process, a formal repository of content that gets published and preserved and gets converted to PDF. But think of innovation, things where people are collaborating on ideas, creating slides, working on slides. There's a great way to take a lot of that knowledge and then make it more formal. So having those types of systems. Social connections. When you have a company, more than 100 people, you need to be able to find experts. So at SharePoint, we help you find experts, and I'll show you an example of that. And then participation anywhere. So being able to use any device, as I mentioned before, as well. So I'll jump back into demo. So here is that same document library. I wanted to show some of the new improvements when it comes to kind of community and collaboration. The first is in SharePoint 2010, you can actually be more productive by choosing multiple documents. So now, for example, I can click on multiple documents and check them out if I wanted to. So here's checkout. You'll notice in the 800 by 600, they've actually done a nice job of kind of using the icons. So here I could check out multiple documents. I could delete multiple documents. I can do a number of different things with multiple documents. The other thing I wanted to show was how you can tag a document. So let's go ahead and tag this document. And I could tag this to, let's say I want to tag this Russia. Here you go. And here's a very interesting thing. SharePoint supports two types of tagging. There is the more informal tagging, if people want to tag things so you can find them later. And there's the more formal one called taxonomy. So in SharePoint 2010, you can have a formal taxonomy at the organization level that you can define, that you can lock down, and that you can enforce people to use, and that can help you with workflow, that can help you with routing, that can help you do a number of things. So again, in the US, we call it a folksonomy and a taxonomy, but think of this as a taxonomy that can be open or closed, is one way to think about it. So over here, someone's done a global taxonomy, so I'm gonna go ahead and choose Russia, and the taxonomy is multilingual capable. You can have millions of terms in the taxonomy, so there's a lot of flexibility here. I'll choose Russia here. And we also have a note board for all SharePoint items. So I can add a real quick note. Great proposal in Russia. And I can go ahead and post this. And you'll see that there's a lot of Ajax here. What you see over here is known as a dialogue framework. And the dialogue framework actually, so if you're a developer, you can use the Ajax framework, if you will, to actually develop solutions in a very performant way. So I've gone ahead and tagged it. We also, with SharePoint 2010, have ratings enabled on lists. So if you go to libraries, if you're looking for this, if you go to libraries and you go to settings, you'll see that one of the options, which is off by default, but one of the options is ratings. So you can go ahead and I can go ahead and enable ratings. And now if I go back to my documents, I have ratings here. So if you wanted to kind of gather feedback or do something, you can actually go ahead and do that very easily. The other thing I want to talk about when we think of communities, we think of the My Site. How many people deployed My Sites in SharePoint? Yeah, a few people. In this version, we've made a lot of improvements with My Sites. So let me just show you a quick tour. We have quick status updates. So I can say presenting in Russia. And now anyone who's, any of my colleagues can actually see what I'm doing and get my updates. I can see all my tags and notes. So in this particular case, you can see that I have done a post or I've added a note over here. You can also see your organization. This is another area where we use Silverlight. So I can look at my whole organization and see my reporting chain very, very easily. And this is this can be imported from Active Directory or an LDAP directory of your choice. So just some very quick demo of some of the community features. Can we flip back to the slides? SharePoint content. We've made a lot of investments in kind of the core capabilities of enterprise content management. Whether the content is web content, whether the content is digital content, the content is electronic content, or the content is record content. So we've done a lot of work, and some of this work is really at the platform level. So now, as I mentioned before, we can have millions of items in a list. How many people here are IT professionals? A few? Okay. From an IT pro perspective, we actually support remote blob storage, so you can actually offload a lot of the blob storage or big large object binaries or binary large. I forget one of that thing I was told by the translator. I should not use acronyms, and then you realize that a lot of your a lot of the words are just you know them only as acronyms, binary large object files or something like that. But effectively, you could take a lot of the documents, a lot of the digital medias, and offload them to cheaper storage using SQL Server 2008 a remote blob storage provider framework. So we support that. We've also done a lot of work around being able to have records management capabilities throughout SharePoint. I know in Russia, I was talking to folks like George and Roman, that in Russia, the notion of a record and a notion of a document is very different, right? Is that right from the US? I've heard that a document is a more formal document, than what we have in the U.S. And what's really nice with SharePoint 2010 is that in any document library in SharePoint, you can actually declare a record if you want. So you can make a document immutable if you wanted to in any document library. The other thing that we have, which I think will be one of the sleeper hits, I guess, will be one of the things that people get really excited about after 2010 release, is Word Automation Services. So in SharePoint 2010, which I think will be really interesting for the Russian market, in SharePoint, you will be able to do a lot of the Word automation on the server. So imagine having a workflow where you have a document, you have approval, certain people have to approve, you have metadata, you have taxonomy. You saw a lot of the features there from metadata, taxonomy to workflow. But the next step that you'll be able to do with Word Automation Services is convert that Word document to PDF, for example. So if you have a huge number of Word documents, in SharePoint 2010, on the server, you can convert all of them into PDF, into one or many PDFs. So again, there are some really great features in 2010 that I think will be very interesting for many markets. And the last one is some of the management efficiencies. So I mentioned this before, from a storage perspective and from an IT pro professional perspective, we've done a lot of work to enable you to have terabytes and terabytes of content in your SharePoint deployment. So I'm going to jump into demo again. And this is just to state the obvious, what you're seeing are just maybe 5% or less of the features in SharePoint. I'm just showing you a little bit here and there. And here are some of the new content features. So for starters, I'm going to go to the document library. And right from here, I can go ahead and create a new content type. So for those of you that are familiar with content types, a couple things to notice. The first is we have a new content type called the document set. So now in SharePoint, you can have one set that has one set of metadata, one set of workflow. So if you're doing a project, let's say you have a proposal, you can have like 10 documents that all have the same metadata, go through a workflow, and then treat it as one set. And you can even download it as one set. So it's actually, I see a thumbs up, which is great. So that's a new feature in 2010. The other thing is, in SharePoint 2010, we also have the notion of enterprise content types. So if you're a large organization, and the site collection boundary, and I'm assuming the guy who gave me a thumbs up will give me another thumbs up here. That's a rule. Once you start, you can't stop. The other thing is that if the site collection boundary was impacting your ability to define content type, let's say you wanted one proposal document, now with the enterprise content type, you can actually replicate that definition across SharePoint site collections and SharePoint server farms. So we actually have, you can push these out so you don't have to worry about having different content types in different places. So again, this is some of the new things here. The big thing I wanted to show was compliance. Now, right within this document library, actually, before I do that, let me show you taxonomy. Take a look at this. I have navigation by taxonomy. So now I can use, so once you have a corporate taxonomy, let's say you created a really great formal structure, and then you've made people tag things through a document library, people can now navigate based on taxonomy. And they can even use the taxonomy navigation in the search results as well. So taxonomy is not just interesting from a formal workflow and process perspective, which is very interesting, right? Because based on certain things, you can have it go to different places. But it's really interesting also from a discovery perspective. And this is where the integrated platform comes into play. I can go ahead and filter by North America and then get all the documents that are from North America. So even if practically not a lot of people have millions and millions of documents in library, but if you had millions and millions of documents in library, your taxonomy can help your end users filter documents. So once I do that, the other thing I can do is I can take a document and I can declare it as a record right within a document library. So I can go ahead and say, hey, this is a record, and now it's immutable. you have auditing. People won't be able to modify it. You can even get compliance details from this. So over here, I can get compliance details. I can generate audit log reports, so I can get a lot of control. And the other thing is a new feature in SharePoint 2010 is document IDs. So if you've ever had the situation where you wanted to give someone a URL to a document, and that document can get moved, right? Documents get moved as part of workflow, as part of processes. Now you can search and find documents by a document ID. So again, that's a new thing in SharePoint. So many, many different ways to go ahead and access documents. Switching back to slides. So those of you who went to the SharePoint conference, a demo I did that I was tempted to do today, but then I realized there's no real value, is I actually showed a demo where I had about 300,000 documents in a document library just to show how you can use taxonomy and all of that stuff. But you can just imagine 300,000 documents. Here's some screenshots that I didn't get to show you. So we support streaming. So we have a new library in SharePoint called the Asset Library that, you know, if you wanted to create like a YouTube for the enterprise or a podcasting kit, you can use the Asset Library and then stream right from SharePoint. So streaming is a new supported capability that you can natively go ahead and stream. SharePoint Search. Search is one of the most exciting things. It's probably the best demo, one of the best demos. We've made a lot of investments in search with the 2010 release and even before the 2010 release. If you take a look at before the 2010 release, we released Search Federation as part of the infrastructure update. And as part of 2010, we've included, from a licensing and integration perspective, things like Fast Search that really gives search a great, great experience, a great productivity experience. So not only can you index hundreds of millions of items, but the experience you get with Fast and the search capabilities in SharePoint are really, really fantastic. So instead of walking through the slide, let me just show you some of these things. So if you can jump back into demo. Let's go into search. And let me search for a keyword. And I'm searching for the keyword sales over here. Now, this is using Fast Search, but take a look at this. I have my documents, right? I have Word documents. You can pretty much index anything you want. But look at what happens when you have Word and PowerPoint documents. You get a preview of the document. So before you click on it, you can see it. But my favorite, which I use, by the way, all the time at Microsoft, is Preview. So before you download the document, before you have multiple clicks, you can actually go ahead and take a look at this PowerPoint slide deck. So again, just shows you kind of the power of productivity, where you can view the documents, search the documents, and then guess what happens when I view it in the browser? You actually get the PowerPoint web application. So you again, you can actually go ahead and screen through this in more detail. You can get the notes and do a bunch of other things. Let me just jump back over here. The other thing that is really nice from a search perspective is that, let's go back to the sales keyword. Not only can you search from SharePoint, but you can also search from Windows. So if I go to my Windows Explorer, so take a look at the search results. I have XJ2000, I have XJ2000 sales presentations. If I go here and do the same keyword search through my Windows, I'll actually get the same exact search results as I do in the browser. So this is calling Fast Search. And let's just give this a second. And you'll see that I get the same relevancy, the same listings right within Windows. And you can even intermingle the search results. So again, if you're using Fast for your corporate search, your information workers can use Windows or what have you, and can actually go ahead and search. The other nice thing is you can search people very easily. So again, from a people perspective, you can use keywords. You get query hit highlighting. You get people information here. It searches by distance from where you are. You can see the highlighting here. You can see information that people have put. But you can also search for names of people. So let's say you met someone called Larry Zhang, but you weren't sure how to spell his name. You could do L-A-R-Z-H asterisks and use wildcard search to actually find people as well. So not only do we support wildcard search for SharePoint documents and other information, but we also support wildcard search for people names as well. Can we jump back to slide? Yeah. SharePoint Insights. SharePoint Insights, think of SharePoint Insights as the business intelligence capabilities within SharePoint. Microsoft's business intelligence stack consists of SQL. From a backend perspective, you have SSRS, SQL Server Reporting Services with SQL, a lot of data warehousing capabilities, a lot of reporting capabilities. SharePoint provides you a look into those reports. SharePoint provides you dashboards and rich functionality. Performance Point Services, which was a standalone product in the past, we announced that it's part of SharePoint. So SharePoint 2010 will have an integrated Performance Point Services set of capabilities. But we also have things like Visio Services that gives you insights. So take a Visio diagram, connect it with backend data, publish it to SharePoint. We also have Excel Services. Excel Services is Excel on the server where you can edit, view, and even use that content in very, very interesting ways. There's a lot of great stuff here. SharePoint gives you very deep BI capabilities, but it also gives you team capabilities. So if you wanted to do spreadsheet and reporting in team sizes, you can actually do that as well. So let me just show you a quick demonstration of some of the BI capabilities. If we can switch. So let's go back to the search. And let's take a look at this document over here. You see sales. Well, let's do sales. I can pivot by result type, so I'll pivot by Excel. I see a sales analysis document, and I will go ahead and view this in the browser. And we talked about Office web applications, so here I can look at an Excel spreadsheet in a browser of my choice. And you can open this up in Excel. You can view it. Not only can you view the raw data, but you can also view charts over here. Now, one of the other interesting things is that what we found was that a lot of data within Excel is data that people want to use, whether they're publishing a report, whether they're using it in other documents. They want to go ahead and reuse that data. So one of the things that we support in SharePoint, all SharePoint lists, so if you're a developer, this is really interesting for you, is that we support a REST interface with SharePoint lists. So if you're writing applications with other systems, you can use REST to integrate very easily. But we also support REST for Excel data as well. So here's a REST call to the same document. And using REST, so think of REST as a way to access information using a web URL. A web URL, and I think that acronym is okay. And now this information is accessible to any other application that has security to it. So if you're blogging, if you're creating a Word document, if you want to include the spreadsheet, you can just include an image. You can include an image as an address, point to this document, and when that data changes, it'll actually change your document. So let's go back to that spreadsheet. I can actually go ahead and edit in browser. So again, I can use Excel client, or I can do this right within the browser. And what I'll do is I'll change this price here to 500. Just to be very very obvious. So you can see that the visuals changed on the spreadsheet. You can also see if I scroll down that my graph has changed dramatically. Can everyone see that? And now sometimes this takes a little bit of time, so let's hope that this works just fine. If I go to my Excel REST call, maybe I'll come back a little later. Effectively, you know, sometimes it takes 30, 40 seconds or so, but this graph or this REST call will actually change to reflect the new graph. So I'll come back a little later to go ahead and show you. So let's jump back to slides. So here is here's some visual scorecards with performance point services that are integrated right within SharePoint 2010. Here's a nice screenshot of Visio, Visio in a browser, of data that is integrated on the back end. So again, you can make this accessible to everyone in your company using SharePoint 2010. And so that's a quick overview of kind of all the feature demos. I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of the IT Pro, a little bit of the IT Pro, and a little bit of the developer features and functionality as well. So now I talked about the features, now I'll talk about unified infrastructure, and I'll talk a little bit about Rapidly Respond as well. So let's talk about unified infrastructure. The first point I want to make, and I made this before, is that we've really tried to consolidate SharePoint so it consists of many workloads. And again, from a value perspective, this means reducing complexity, lowering costs, reducing training, increasing adoption. So again, by having everything on one platform, you can get a lot of great business and technical benefit out of it. Deployment choice. So if you're an IT pro, we've done a lot of things to give you flexibility. So I'll give you some technical examples, and I know that you'll have a lot of, I actually saw the agenda, you have PowerShell sessions and a bunch of other things. But in SharePoint 2010, we made it really flexible so you can deploy SharePoint 2010 in the way you want. So we have flexible topologies, so you can scale out different service applications. So if you're using, for example, if you're using Excel services a lot, so if you have a financial application, you can scale out your Excel web app service farm to have a lot of Excel computational power, but then you can have just one box for search. So depending on what your requirements are, it gives you a lot of flexibility from a deployment choice perspective. We also give you choice in terms of the remote blob storage that I talked about before. We also give you a lot of other different types of choice. And in Russia, over the next many months, we'll be launching at some point an online service, and that's the notion of SharePoint being hosted by Microsoft, and then you can choose to have some of your scenarios hosted by Microsoft as well. IT Pro productivity. One of the biggest pieces of feedback that we got was we need more tools to make sure SharePoint. To make sure that we can manage and deploy SharePoint as an enterprise platform. So we have PowerShell support, we have reporting, we have auditing, you can monitor the health of your farm. In fact, your farm will tell you when it's not healthy, right? So we have rules that trigger that say, hey, look, I'm running out of disk space. Hey, I don't think I'm feeling that well. So before things happen, it'll proactively give you information. The other really nice things about some of the new reports are you can very quickly at one glance take a look at your slowest page in your deployment. So you can go to your slowest page, you can go yell at your developer, hopefully not, but you can go, then you can actually see a stack trace of your page to see how that page is making different calls. We call it the developer dashboard. So we've done a lot of work to hopefully make you more, to make IT pros more productive and to give you more confidence in deploying SharePoint. Here's a quick diagram, a graphical diagram that kind of shows some of the things I talked about. This is Microsoft's commitment to focus on delivering SharePoint on premises. When we say on premises, we mean SharePoint that you can manage and deploy and develop on, or SharePoint Online, which is a hosted multi-tenant service hosted by Microsoft. This is a really, really great feature. So let me talk about this a little bit. How many people here are on SharePoint 2003 or SharePoint 2007? How many are on SharePoint 2007? A lot. Okay. So we've done a lot of work to make upgrade from SharePoint 2007 to SharePoint 2010 predictable. I don't like to use the word easy, because if I use the word easy, customers and partners yell at me. So I stopped using the word easy. I use the word predictable. So what this means is we've done a lot of work to make sure you have the tools to have a great upgrade experience. So if you go to TechNet, there's a whole resource center dedicated to upgrade, and we've done a lot of work to enable a couple scenarios. You can do Content DB detach and attach, so content database detach and attach. You can also upgrade in place. My recommendation is to do a content database detach, upgrade, and attach. That's my recommendation. But there are some scenarios where if you have a single box, smaller departmental solution, you might want to think about doing it in place. It really depends on your scenario. On TechNet, we have a planning your upgrade and choosing deployment options document available. I recommend taking a look at that document. But this is a great feature. So let me tell you the business need here, and let me tell you what happened at Microsoft. A lot of people use SharePoint at Microsoft. We have hundreds of thousands of sites. We have terabytes of content. SharePoint is the way we collaborate. It's the way we search. It's the way we do a lot of things. And what IT was really scared about was they wanted to upgrade SharePoint on the box because they would get PowerShell and all the great enhancements from backup, restore, all the stuff on the infrastructure side. But they were really worried that the business units would get angry. Right? The business units were like, but wait a minute. I spent a lot of time on my CSS. I spent a lot of time on my custom code. I spent a lot of time making this look well. And I trained all my users on this thing. Now you're changing the whole entire look and feel. You can't do that to me. Right? Is what MSIT said. So there's a new feature in SharePoint that you should take a look at. It's called Visual Upgrade. And what Visual Upgrade does is it allows you to upgrade your servers to SharePoint 2010, but allows the SharePoint 2007 look and feel to persist on the sites. So the site admins can choose when they want to flip over to the new UI. So for example, this is a SharePoint 2010 site. And then the admin, whenever they were ready, flipped over, they previewed, and then they committed to the new look and feel. So again, this is something that's in your arsenal. It's in your tools, and you should take a look at it. I do want to say something, though. Visual Upgrade is really good from a transition perspective, but a lot of the new features in SharePoint are actually enabled in the UI, in the new UI. So when you saw the new ribbon, when you saw the tagging, when you saw some of the new things, they're all enabled in the UI. So if you stay too long on SharePoint 2007, you'll never get some of the end user benefits. So it's important to kind of trade that off. It's important to educate your users. And the real nice trick is that your users can choose when to move, but then IT also can do it through PowerShell. So if you want, at some point, if you want to upgrade, or here's the interesting thing, even with PowerShell, you can revert back. So reverting back is impossible through the UI. Once you commit, you commit. You can preview, but once you commit, you commit. In PowerShell, you can actually revert. So that's a lesson, and I believe you have a PowerShell talk. They might talk a little bit about those types of scenarios, but just thought I'd talk about that. Here's a little a SharePoint Health Analyzer feature. People on my team were getting excited because it's SHA, which is SHA. So they were trying to figure out a way to add another H, so it would be my last name, which wasn't very funny because it's about the health of the system, so I didn't want to be associated with the health of a system. But basically, these are rules that trigger off. You can create your own rules, and again, just great for IT professionals. All right, the last section, and I think I have some interesting demos here for you. And I want to show you some demos based on some of the core things I've heard a lot of people talk about. And this is all about being able to rapidly respond to business needs. Let's talk about the first one. And I'll spend just 2 minutes talking, I'll spend 1 minute talking about it because you have a lot of sessions on this. And this is SharePoint being a great platform for developers. So we've done a lot of work with Visual Studio 2010 team to give you an out-of-the-box experience. So we have over a dozen templates. We have the F5 experience. You can debug. We even have the developer dashboard. And we even have integration with Team Server for source code check-in and check-out right within the tool. So there's a lot of great investments there. And even on the server side, things like the developer dashboard is really great. You can actually effectively get a stack trace of what's happening on the server. So you can see how your web part is interacting, what it's doing, how performant it is, or how performant it's not. And then you can actually go ahead and debug. The other couple things that I think I should talk about are around data connectivity. One of the big investment areas for developers and non-developers is a feature area called business connectivity services, or as we in Redmond affectionately call it BCS, because we love to give acronyms for everything. So business connectivity services is BCS, and business connectivity services allows you to integrate with back-end systems, so databases or services that expose themselves through web services. And we give end users, assuming they have security and permissions, the ability to read and write that information. So in the SharePoint 2007 version, we have something called Business Data Catalog, which was read-only. In this version, it's read-write. And we give you tooling with SharePoint Designer. So SharePoint Designer is a free client download, so you can connect to back-end systems like SQL and other systems using BCS and SharePoint Designer, and then you can expose that into SharePoint. And I'm going to show you an example of that in a second. And just to give you an example of how powerful business connectivity services is, the next version of Duet, which is known Duet Enterprise for SAP and Microsoft, is actually built on SharePoint business connectivity services. So SAP and Microsoft made a big bet on the next version of Duet on SharePoint. So it just gives you a sense of how big an investment area this is. The other really good thing to know about the client, the data connectivity, if you're a developer, is we have a new object model for client-side development called the Client OM, the Client Object Model. And that is just a great thing to take a look at when you're developing Silverlight applications. So when you're writing Silverlight applications, because Silverlight runs on your client, you can actually go ahead and write managed code. Today, if you want to write Silverlight applications with SharePoint, you'd have to call the web services. So in the next version, in the current version with 2010, you can actually use a client object model. What else? Business connectivity services. And, of course, client-side development. So the client OM isn't just a DLL, but we also have a JavaScript library. So we have a client-side object model as well. Composite solutions. Think of composite solutions as solutions that you can do without writing a single line of code. And that's actually what I'm about to show you right now. So let's jump right into demo. Okay. All right. So one of the feedback that we got with the last release is that there's a lot of data that people want to integrate with that lives outside of SharePoint, right? It could be SQL, it could be Oracle, it could be SAP, it could be CRM. But what people love is they love the SharePoint interface. They love the fact that people know how to use check-in, check-out, use document libraries, use sites. So let me give you a scenario. Let's say you have your data in a back-end system, and in this particular case, the back-end system will be SQL, right? SQL, in reality, what you probably have is you have another application that talks to SQL. SQL is a data store. So let's say you want to connect SQL to SharePoint. So here I have a very simple table, and this table actually just shows me it's a table for speakers for my team, and this table actually shows all the different people and their scores, so their presenter scores. So here I have a score of 5. Paul Andrew, who's on my team, has a score of 7, so he's doing a little better than me. And what I want to do is I actually want to expose this information into SharePoint. Now, with SharePoint 2010, you can actually connect without writing a single line of code. You can create a business entity, a BDC entity to the SQL database, and then actually expose that in a SharePoint list. So take a look over here. So I'm going to go back to my SharePoint site, and I will go to this list called speakers. This list is an external list, what we call an external list. And in the US, I use the language, this may look like a list, smell like a list, and bark like a list, but it's not a list. This is actually data coming from a backend system. And what's beautiful here is that if you have another application that's changing your data, so let's go, let's add. I usually ask for volunteers, but I will just take George, who is my friend in Russia. He's in Microsoft, who actually spoke earlier. And he is, his location is Moscow. And let's say George is the best speaker on the planet, right? And if I go back to this list, so assume in your mind for a second that you know, there's another application that actually changed that data. Now you have George. Now this is really interesting, but what would be really interesting is what if people could change it in SharePoint? So with SharePoint, I could go ahead, I don't feel too good about my score anymore. So I can go ahead and edit this item. And let's bump me up to 8. And now if I go ahead and refresh this thing, you'll see that I went up to 8. So it's a read-write connection with SharePoint, and to make this solution, I didn't write one line of code. Now, unfortunately, I don't have time. Otherwise, I would have shown you that with SharePoint Designer, you can point into SQL, and apparently people on my team tell me you can even point to SQL Azure. So if you're a hardcore developer, you can actually go ahead and try that out as well. And then go ahead and set this list up. And if you want to look at where it is in the UI, if I go to the UI, if I go to more pages, by the way, this interface is also Silverlight. Here's another example of Silverlight. In the UI, you'll actually find it come up in, I think it's in list, external list over here. So if I went ahead and created an external list, it would ask me, what's the entity that you want to use? And it'll be one of the entities that you've created, and it'll automatically connect right to the back end. And we've also done work on the client aspect as well. So if you have Word 2010, you can actually connect different entities in the Word browser, and you can bring it right into Word directly. And all this data that you see that's that external list, you can take that offline in SharePoint Workspace. So if you're working online, if you're working with customers, so a really good example is if you have a CRM system, the minute you connect this up to the CRM system, and if you're a developer, you may have to write a little bit of code to connect to the CRM system, but the minute you create one of those connectors, you'll be able to search it through SharePoint Search, you'll be able to bring it up in the SharePoint external lists. We even have web parts. They're called business data web parts, so you can actually have an entity, so you can have a speaker profile if you want. So there's a lot of stuff we provide out of the box. And if you're developers out here, I think it's a great developer opportunity to create packages or BDC packages, BCS packages for SharePoint for different systems. And you can actually write your own event handlers and do a bunch of stuff. So there's a lot of great flexibility with the Visual Studio 2010 tools and with all the plumbing we did with SharePoint. So I just wanted to show that. But I'm not done yet. So by the way, now that I've connected it up, now search will go ahead and index it. So now I have automatic search. But let me ask you a question. Let's go back to our site over here. when you have data, let's say your executive said, "Hey, George," or "Hey, John, I want to see data coming from backend system," right? So I have that data here. Here's speakers. And the nice thing, by the way, is I can actually even filter on this. And what it's doing in the backend is it's actually issuing a query. And for SQL, we've done automatically. If you're a developer, you'll have to write the code. But in the backend, it's actually issuing a query to the database and returning the results. So I can do a bunch of things over here in SharePoint. Now, there are limitations. I said before, it may smell like a list and bark like a list, but you can't do things like check in and check out, and there's some other limitations. But again, just a great feature. But let me ask you, now I have this data, what's missing here? I have this data, I can collaborate on it, but what if I go to that list and view the data, it doesn't feel great. What's the best way to view data like that? I heard someone say it. Well, I'll repeat it. So, the best way to view data like this is a chart, right? Like, wouldn't it be great if you could take that data and visualize it? So you can actually take advantage of some of the new capabilities in SharePoint 2010 and add a chart and connect it to backend data. So let's go ahead. Right within a page. So I don't even have to have web part zones anymore, if you've noticed. I can insert a web part anywhere. I can insert a web part here. It's called the chart web part. And the chart web part, like many other pieces of SharePoint, actually understand BCS. Even SharePoint lists, you can have columns that connect to BCS, by the way. So BCS surfaces up in many different ways. Right here, I can go ahead and change where my data is coming from. So let's go ahead and connect this to BCS. And you can also connect it to Excel services, so you can do a bunch of things. You can choose the external content type. I only have one in this demo called speakers. It's showing me a preview of the content. And there you have it. So I have a little chart that's coming off the back end. I can even make it look prettier. So let's go ahead and customize this a little bit. I'm very left-brained, so I have very, very poor right brain sense. So I will take advantage of some of these templates here. Let's take a look at let's see, 3D. Let's do 3D columns. There you have it. Now, and just to prove that this is all working, over here, let's go to SQL and add one more person. I went to St. Petersburg, by the way. That's also a beautiful city. And let's say this person in St. Petersburg did a little better than George, got a 12. And if I go back here, you'll see that the chart changes, and so does the list. So again, just some really nice example of the power of some of the capabilities with SharePoint 2010. Now, if I had more time, I would actually show you access services as well. So you can take an access database, take a reporting application, publish it into SharePoint, and it will SharePointify it for you. I have no clue how they'll translate that, but it'll basically convert into SharePoint application. So there's a lot of great stuff, and I encourage you to take a look at it. Slides, please. Before I finish the rest of the slides, I showed you an example of that partner solution. I want to give you the URL and a promotion code. There's a free download. If you go to point8020.com. and register for that solution, put in the promotion code MSFT. So maybe I'll work with Oksana to send a note out, but it's point8020.com. promotion code MSFT, and you can download a free SharePoint 2010 Silverlight e-learning player. So it's for free. So you might as well try it out if you can. I just have a couple more screenshots. Again, you'll see a lot of this, so I don't want to spend too much time. We have Visual Studio. We have Developer Dashboard. I talked about SharePoint lists. You could take external data, put it into Outlook or even SharePoint Workspace. Here's SharePoint Designer. It has the new ribbon. It's a free download. So again, I encourage you to use it. You can create workflows. You can create connections to backend systems. You can change the look and feel of your site. These are the different types of solutions. So basically, SharePoint in this release is a big, big platform that you can develop a lot of solutions on. So I've just listed a few of these here. And again, from when it comes to Microsoft, the thing I always like to talk about is that Microsoft provides differentiation, because unlike all the other vendors, we don't just provide a browser experience. We try to provide a PC browser and phone experience. We don't just provide online. We realize that enterprises want software also in their firewall, so we do on-premises as well. We don't just do end-user empowerment, end users can do anything. We also do governance, and we do throttling, we do workflow, taxonomy. We don't just do out-of-the-box great application, we also do a great developer story. So we really try to invest on many different axes. And the last one is, we don't just do end-user content, we also do line-of-business integration that you saw. And Oksana, can I spend one more minute showing one last demo? I'm going to show one more demo just to end. So if I can switch back to, this is my last slide. So I want to switch back since I have 1 minute and I want to make use of my time here. So switching back to demo, please. All right, the one thing that I must talk about is the notion of sandbox solutions. I didn't talk about this, and I do think that people will talk about this later, but I think it's important to talk about now. Sandbox solutions. One of the feedback that we got from a lot of customers is, I have SharePoint, my businesses use SharePoint, but I don't want to put custom code in SharePoint. They're a little concerned that, hey, what if the custom code does bad things? What if it doesn't work properly? So one of the big things we've done on the server and in Visual Studio is actually help you build what are known as sandbox solutions. Sandbox solutions are solutions that you can develop that are safe and easy to deploy. So sandbox solutions, you don't have to do STS admin and deploy it. You can actually deploy it into what's known as a solution gallery. So we have made the format for all SharePoint solutions consistent. It's called the WSP format, the Windows SharePoint Solution Package, Windows SharePoint Services Solution Package. So there's a legacy extension there. But what that means is, if you create a sandbox solution, so if your developer creates a sandbox solution, and whether you're an executive or an IT pro, and you're a little worried that, hey, this solution may not behave right, you can have confidence that sandbox solutions keep the solution safe. So there are limitations. It has to be partially trusted. You can't have it be too resource intensive, but it also gives you a lot of flexibility in what are traditionally locked down environments in a safe way. So what I've done is I've taken a sample sandbox solution to show you what you could do. So I'm going to go ahead and upload the WSP over here. So let's upload a solution. And this solution is a very simple Silverlight application. So let's go ahead and upload this guy. I have a flipbook.wsp. So once I upload the solution, I can activate it, and this solution can't do harmful things to my environment, so that you can feel safe about this. And if I go back to my site, I'll actually find that web part, that solution is actually a web part. That web part is now available to me as an end user. So I can insert web part custom. Here's a flipbook web part. And this will go ahead and insert it in. So this I tried running this before. There's some software running on my machine that's capturing the video, so that's actually slowing down my machine just a little bit. So hopefully this works fine. I think my machine has given it all it can for 90 minutes. Okay, there you have it. And here is a really simple solution that's based on Silverlight, hosted within SharePoint, and it is done in a very safe way. So very, very simple, very silly. So you can choose the brush, you can choose the color, and then I can just say, you know, I can do some fun things like I heart moss. This is where the 800 by 600 comes into play. I won't be able to do it. I love moss cow. There you have it. So anyway, I thought it'd end with a short demo, and I am right on time. So I just wanted to thank everyone before I leave. Really want to thank you for all your support. Thank you for Oksana for setting this up. We really appreciate all the great work she's doing, and we appreciate all the great work you're doing. And again, this is the first session I've done for SharePoint 2010, so it's going to be a great road, and have a great session-packed conference. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks.